the Community Health Systems Coordinator with the Minnesota Department of Health. She brings over 30 years of program development leadership experience in community health and healthcare within the state of Minnesota. Prior to her current position, she worked on the implementation of the health reform initiative, healthcare homes, also known as medical homes, as a planner to develop and implement the performance measurement system, the statewide learning collaborative, and consumer messaging. Prior to joining the Minnesota Department of Health, Shirley worked on community health initiatives at an urban hospital in the areas of maternal and child health and chronic disease. She was also the executive director of a community clinic in Minnesota for 13 years and project director for both an adolescent pregnancy and prevention services consortium and a comprehensive child development program in Brooklyn, New York. One of the fun facts I'll tell about Cheryl Lee is that many years ago we served together in a program called Amigos de las Americas as team members in Paraguay, and little did we know that 20 years later our professional paths would cross as health educators. Shirley?
Thank you. So what I'm going to talk about is a systems view of the changing healthcare landscape and health education's contributions, and I'm really going to try to hone in on the contribution piece. I'm going to talk about two programs that I've seen within the United States. I know that there's more out there. One I'm very familiar with because that's the one I worked on in healthcare homes, and the other one is with the state of Vermont's program. I have no relationships to disclose. So in regards to the health reform in Minnesota, Minnesota has three reform goals, and it's based off of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement's triple aim: healthier communities, better health care, and lower costs. And these reforms were built on the recognition that we had uneven quality, poor value, a lack of information, payment and delivery incentives that were fundamentally misaligned and paid for volume and not value, and lack of patient and family-centeredness, and inadequate investment on population-based prevention and healthy communities. Boy, that sounds like a lot, and we did get that reform passed. Then, when you pass the reform, you've got to do the program. And so our 2008 goals, when we take a look at market transparency, we had developed a statewide quality measurement system, which is a standardized system for clinics to directly submit their data, patient data, to an organization called Minnesota Community Measurement. I worked through healthcare homes. I worked very closely on the data submission task and working on that development. We also are in the process of working on provider peer grouping, we call it. It's a system for the public to compare both quality, performance, and for the clinics and hospitals, cost and quality. In regards to our prevention and our public health, we had a program set up called the Statewide Health Improvement Program, and that's looking at we call it the PSE, so policy, system, and environment work. We had received about $44 million. We were able to fund all of our counties and about seven or eight of our tribal nations in regards to taking a look at healthier eating, active living, tobacco-free living, and with we call it SHIP. So with our SHIP program, the clinical aspect was, it wasn't a mandated aspect that you had to work on it, but it was optional. And then in regards to our care delivery reform, that was our healthcare homes, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So what is a healthcare home? One of the things that when I became part of the program, I thought, oh no, this is going to be just a messaging mess, because what do you think when you hear healthcare home? Nursing home, those kinds of things. So so what we did is we did a survey with our professional organizations and with quite a few clinicians. I want to say about 300 clinicians, and then about 300 to 400 consumers on just the aspects of what we were looking for in a healthcare home. Did they understand it? So we did come up with a definition that a healthcare home is a primary care clinic or provider that offers patients personalized care and partnerships with a team of providers and specialists. A certified healthcare home helps patients meet their health goals through better care coordination and care planning and is eligible for additional care coordination payments. This took a long time to do, to get all these groups together and to be able to have people understand. And after a couple of years now, people are using healthcare home, and people, we have this this mental model in Minnesota that we know what we finally know what we're talking about. Our unique approach to healthcare homes was that we took it as a statewide approach. A lot of states in the beginning began as pilot projects, usually headed up by insurance companies and or the state Medicaid offices, but they just used certain communities. We decided we're just going to do the whole thing, and so it was a statewide approach. We have certification standards. We took a look at NCQA standards, so that was the National Committee of Quality Assurance, and at the time, we didn't think that those standards had enough of the patient-centeredness that we were looking for in Minnesota, so we created our own standards, and believe me, we had lots of feedback, we had lots of committees, we had lots of consumers involved, and we felt pretty proud. And actually, NCQA came to us and interviewed a number of us on what we thought what we thought should be added to their standards. And subsequently, they have PCMH, patient-centered medical home standards as well. We have a statewide learning collaborative, and Saison talked a little bit about the learnings. You'll find that learning collaboratives, the PDSA cycles, the lean methodology, clinics don't necessarily, they don't have that background. Maybe some of their leadership does, but when you try to expand it throughout all of the clinics, the staff, and bringing them in as part of the team, it's just a very enriching learning environment. We have a payment methodology in which that instead of that the fee for service for care coordination, when a patient is assessed and there's a need for care coordination, there's a level. So it just depends on how many conditions that patient has. And then if there's additional issues going on, for example, English as a second language or persistent mental illness, and then there's a couple of other things, that there's a little bit of a higher percentage. So it's not a fee-for-service, it's a per-member per-month payment, and it ranges from $10 to $50 per member per month, depending on how much we think that the patient, how much of the care coordination that we think the patient is going to need. We tried to bucket the resources so that the patients that are really going to need a lot to stay out of the hospital as much as possible and not to use the emergency department, we're going to put more money into those patients and then less if it's just minor kinds of things. Integration of community partnerships and with the healthcare homes. Last year we had a pilot project with community care teams throughout the state, and that was very successful, and we will be rolling that out further. We did submit SIMS, but it's out of the innovation, the CMS Innovation Center, to really take a look at these community care teams and expand them as well. We have outcome measures, and then we do target the chronic and complex conditions. Now, I didn't use an onion. I used a triangle, a pyramid. I'm going to call it a pyramid. But in taking a look at a healthcare home as an ACO foundation, so we're using words. I think health educators need to really get to know what the language is out there and begin to use the language so that we're speaking the same thing and that it rolls off of our tongue so that when we're advocating for ourselves, people will understand. But in the gold color, the two levels. These are areas that Seisan just spoke about the standards and about what's required. And we really feel in Minnesota that these healthcare components, an organization cannot function as a healthcare home. They're unlikely to succeed as an accountable care organization. And then the top blue triangle is that when you add on for an ACO or accountable care organization, it's that shared risk and benefit. It's that whole accountability factor. So what I did is I just added in on healthcare or health educators' competencies with each one of these pyramids, because I really feel that we as health educators really need to advocate for ourselves. And as I was partaking in the development of healthcare homes, I just thought, oh my goodness, this is health education. Now, just as a little story, way back when, about 30 years ago, when I was in my undergraduate work, my professor said, oh, you know, these health maintenance organizations, they're going to be really cool. Mayo Clinic has just finished with their pilot project. Patients, they'll have their primary care physician identified for them. They'll have the same one. They'll have a team of people. Health educators will have jobs. And then somehow the insurance companies got involved, and then that opportunity disappeared. Well, I stuck through it, though, and I'm seeing a renewed interest in what we could be doing. So next, I'm just going to briefly talk about Vermont. So when I started with healthcare homes, I really talked a lot about health education and what we could do. It's not unfortunate, but the reality was is that I was surrounded by clinicians and by nurses that, you know, I somewhat valued health educators, but there was a certain idea of what health educators could do, and they were really focused on chronic disease and that, oh no, it's nurses and it's the clinicians that are going to be, you know, doing all of this, and they're part of they're the team, and there's no money and there's no room for health education. And so as I was doing a literature search and just looking at what was out there, Vermont rose to the top because they actually began using community health team. I saw a health educator, I saw public health specialist, I saw the terms community health workers, and so I thought, oh, these people get it. They understand the value of health education. And they've come out and spoken to Minnesota and presented a number of times, and we really appreciated listening to them. So with the Vermont's blueprint for health, their health reform was probably initiated right around the same time ours was, maybe a little bit earlier. But they really felt that a foundation of medical homes and community health teams can support coordinated care and linkages with broad services. So if you look at the little circles, the advanced primary care, those are clinics. So those are what we call the clinics. And then there's other services that they've identified: public health, healthier living workshops, mental health services, social economic, specialty care. So they're addressing the social determinants of health. And so I've just been so excited to watch what they've done. They have a multi-insurer payment reform, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the next slides. And then they also have an infrastructure that includes electronic health records, hospital data sources, health information and exchange network, and a centralized registry. And I'm really jealous of that centralized registry. And then they also have an evaluation structure. So just to recap, they've got their advanced primary care practices. They have community health teams, which are core. They have community health teams that are extended. And then their payment reform, health information structure, evaluation and reporting, and then their learning. They have a learning health system activities. And, you know, in Minnesota we call it learning collaborative. Different groups call it different things. So they've stratified or developed a continuum of health services based on need. And how Vermont is structured is they have their health districts. And so their health districts generally have a hospital attached to it, or there's a hospital in it. And so that's how their geographic area, so they look at a geographic area and and their patients. And so with the continuum of health services, their first bucket, they have three buckets. And so they look at level of need, lower acuity and complexity to higher acuity and complexity, and they empanel. So Seisan talked a little bit about the empanelment of patients, and so they're able to then stratify in regards to the acuity and complexity. They have their advanced primary care team, and I just want you to take a look at the, you know, health maintenance, prevention, and then all of the other kinds of things. I really feel, and again, to tag along with what Seisan just talked about, is that health educators can be expert consultants and partners in the design of clinical services and behavioral interventions. We fit right in there, and we can help with the design of their advanced primary care practice. Then we've got the community health teams. And if supporting patients and families, supports practices, coordinates care, referrals, case management, self-management, et cetera, and I really feel that health educators have these skills and can provide the services on the community health teams. And then in regards to the specialized and targeted services, the last three bullets, that the community programs, the self-management and the public health programs, we can really fit in with those. So when we take a look at the community health teams, this is the their referral and communication flow chart. We take a look at the big circle, the pinkish circle. We've got the physicians or nurse practitioners, physicians. Those are our clinicians. And part of that team is the public health specialist and chronic care coordinator. And then we've got the extended community health team, community connections, the Vermont Department of Health, and community care managers that are funded within the different counties or health districts and are funded under Medicaid. The intersection is that public health specialist and chronic care coordinator. And I'm just using those as examples because it's going to depend on the need of the community. But these people are either housed right in at the advanced primary care clinic, or their functions are integrated. So they may not be housed there at all the time, but they're part of the system, which is really important. And then they're also connected out with the extended community health teams. So when we take a look at the payment reform in Vermont, their financing comes from the Medicaid, Medicare, their Blue Cross, and the MVP, Cigna, and self-insured. One of the things for Minnesota is that we haven't garnered all of the self-insured, which is a fairly large insurers in Minnesota. And we were very pleased to see that they've gotten the self-insured. But so what they've done is they've allowed for fee-for-service, but based on then their NCQA score, so everybody's got to go through the NCQA recognition program, they will get an additional payment. So depending on the score, it could be $1.20 to $1.49 per member per month. And that helps with the practice, so whatever needs to happen with the redesign within the practice. But then the insurers, they have shared costs that assist with the community support. And this is really important because they pay for the community health teams. They share costs as a core resource. It's consistent across the insurers. It minimizes the barriers. And so what they've done is they've taken a look at how many people. So each area has a different population. So they guesstimated about 5 FTEs for about 20,000 people. And so that's how they decide how many people are going to be or how many staff are going to be on the team. And that, for them, it comes out to about $350,000 per 5 FTEs. So what I'm trying to say is that it's scaled based on population, which is really important. And again, it's the community deciding what they need. And then lastly, what I just wanted to reiterate again is that for health educators and health reform, I think as for patient-centered medical homes, health educators they really do have the skills in the planning and implementation. I've participated, lots of other people have participated on it, we do have the skills. When we look at clinical quality improvement, in Minnesota there are a number of health educators, certified health education specialists, that work with health systems on the data collection and also with Learning Collaborative. And then lastly, one of the exciting things is in Minnesota we have Community Transformation Grant. And so I've just gone off of healthcare homes into the Community Transformation Grant in that clinical community services system to really begin to focus on preventative health and how are we going to take a look at preventative health on the reimbursement, integrating it with healthcare homes, et cetera. And one of the items that's been really health systems have been interested in is health coaching and that goal setting and patient education. And again, health educators, that would be a really good role. And that's all I've got. Thank you.